Welcome to episode 1146 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Last week, we wrapped up our special musical series, The Disciple Whom Jesus Loves, an epic story of the light that could not be overcome, told through the eyes of the one who never looked away. This week, we will reprise some of the songs from the musical and consider devotional lessons they offer us.
Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist.
These words, spoken by Jesus in Matthew 11, are perhaps the highest praise Jesus gives to any person in Scripture. John's faithfulness, courage, and humility make him a towering spiritual figure. According to Luke 1, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and his birth was announced by the angel Gabriel to his father. His parents, Zechariah, a priest, and Elizabeth, a relative of Mary, raised him in a devout household. Tradition and some interpretations of Luke chapter 1, verse 80, which says that he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel, suggest John may have spent his early adult years in solitude, perhaps in association with a monastic group like the Essenes. The Bible does not specify the exact duration of John's public ministry. Most scholars estimate it lasted about 1 to 2 years, beginning shortly before Jesus' own ministry. John's ministry was significant because he fulfilled ancient prophecy about a herald preparing the way for the Messiah. He revived the practice of baptism with new meaning, no longer just a purification ritual, but a sign of repentance and readiness for the kingdom. He rebuked religious hypocrisy and fearlessly called out injustice, even confronting King Herod. He was the link between the Old and New Testaments. His baptism of Jesus marked a pivotal moment in salvation history, the anointing of the Messiah by the Spirit and the public affirmation of Jesus by the Father. Jesus' appearance at the Jordan River and his subsequent baptism is captured in our song from our musical.
In Jordan's waters many come, besides the curious truth seekers some. But today one who is different on the shore, prophets long before. My heart leaps up, my spirit knows the promise of old is coming close. Now behold the Lamb, the promised Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the seal of perfect love. Behold the Lamb.
There are few moments in Scripture as electrifying and awe-filled as the one described in John 1, 29, when John the Baptist looks up and sees Jesus walking toward him. His voice, always so fiery and bold in the wilderness, now softens into reverent certainty. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This song brings that moment to life with poetic depth and prophetic clarity. In its verses, we're drawn into the heart of the wilderness preacher who, after years of preparation, finally sees the one for whom he was making the way. The song opens with crowds gathered by the Jordan River, some curious, others earnest seekers. Among them stands Jesus, unremarkable in appearance, but radiant with divine purpose. John's spirit leaps within him. The prophets had spoken of this day, and suddenly, what was promised becomes present. John doesn't exalt himself. Quite the opposite. He declares he's not even worthy to untie Jesus' sandals, a servant's lowliest task. Yet he has the honor of proclaiming the Lamb's arrival. That's what grace does. It lets us point to greatness, even when we feel unworthy of it. In verse 2, the song recalls the heavenly confirmation of Jesus' identity. The Spirit rests on him like a dove, heaven's seal of perfect love. John's baptism had always been symbolic, preparing hearts through repentance. But he knew his ministry was only the opening act. Jesus would bring a deeper baptism, a cleansing of the soul, a renewing of the spirit, a healing from sin. The moment the heavens opened and the Father's voice rang out, "This is my Son, whom I love," was more than divine approval. It was divine revelation. The bridge is where the song's devotional heart truly shines. "Decrease I must, increase must he. The greater one has come, you see." John understood his role. He was never the main attraction. He was the voice calling out in the wilderness, clearing the way for the King. And when the King came, he didn't cling to power. He pointed to the light, knowing his own light would dim. What would it look like for us to live with that kind of humility? To rejoice in someone else's rise? To let go of status so Jesus can be more clearly seen? The final verse turns our gaze to the cross. This Lamb, now walking beside the Jordan, would one day walk a hill called Calvary. John doesn't live to see that day, but he knows it's coming. John's recognition of Jesus as the Lamb ties together the whole arc of redemption. From the Passover in Egypt, to the temple sacrifices, to the cross itself. Jesus is the Lamb who takes away our sin, once and for all. John's entire life was about preparing the way for Jesus. He lived simply, he preached boldly, he surrendered fully. When the time came, he beheld the Lamb and led others to do the same. What about us? Have we slowed down long enough to behold him? Do we recognize him not just as Savior in name, but as the Lamb who came near, who stepped into the water of our world, who knelt in our dust, who bore our sin? You may not feel worthy to untie his sandals, but he has called you to proclaim his majesty. Let your life say what John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Father, we thank you for Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, including ours. Teach each one of us to decrease so you may increase. Open our eyes to behold you, not just once, but every day. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.